Titans of Text.
Welcome, mutters, mooers, mushers, talkers, one and all, to the Titans of Text podcast. We are your hosts, Danny Austerity Nissenfeld.
And Eric Ostrich.
And we are here with Vadi of Mudlet. We're going to get straight into Mudlet's history, its development, and its future. Welcome to you, Vadi.
Hey guys, thanks. It's a real honor to be here.
So how did you get started with text games, with MUDs?
It was a very, very long while ago, I think, in middle school. I had a friend who was playing IKEA in the browser at the library. And I sort of followed him, and I made a character, and he got killed pretty quickly in the newbie zone, I think. And I lost interest after that, because I wasn't all that old. But then a couple of months later, I decided to pick the game up again, and I sort of got stuck into it. The friend who introduced me quit the whole genre pretty early on, but I managed to last, and I played the same game for like a decade or so. So yeah, that was my introduction to MUDs, browsers, and libraries, a lot of that.
So how did Mudlet get started? Why would you even want to make a MUD client?
At some point on, I switched to playing on my own computer. This was back on Windows, and I've used ZMUD for a short while. I had somebody purchase me a license, but then pretty early on, in like 2007, I switched over to Ubuntu, to Linux. Switched over fully, and by fully, I mean I was trying to install Ubuntu, and I managed to wipe Windows by accident, so I only had Ubuntu on the laptop, so I was like, well, fuck, I'm stuck. So I decided to figure out how it worked. And it worked pretty well. I was happy with it. But there wasn't ZMUD for Ubuntu, of course. So I was scouring forums, and I was using other clients. I think I tried Gmod. I was using KMuddy for a bit. And it was on KMuddy forums that I met another coder named Heiko from Germany, who played Avalon.de, the German variant. And together we conspired that, hey, we should make a good MUD client for Linux that, that could like rival ZMUD. And then also pretty early on, we decided that, hey, we should have a MUD client, which will have a 3D mapper, because that'll be awesome. So we built Mudlet. We got the first beta out pretty early on. People were happy with it. That was around 2009. And people were like, hey, I want to run this in Windows. I want to run this in Mac OS. So we're like, okay, sure, let's do this. So that's how the cross-platform aspect of Mudlet came to be from pretty early on. And then it all just sort of grew from there.
Was there any pushback within the community from players or MUD owners or ZMUD zealots when you guys first introduced Mudlet?
No. I'm pretty lucky to have had a good reception, as in there wasn't any hostility from anybody at all. And so, of course, since I played an IRE game, I started popularizing Mudlet in IREs because I built combat systems that were pretty popular. And so at some point, I was had this multi-client combat system, which worked as a proxy. So the MUD client would connect to this proxy, and the proxy would connect to the game. So it was essentially multi-client. You could use any client with it. But there were a number of issues with that architecture. And so my next iteration, when Mudlet was good enough, is I simply made my next system be available on Mudlet. I was like, hey, if you want to get my system, come on Mudlet. And that's how it sort of took off from there, in terms of IKEA and other IREs. And then with enough people playing Mudlet, our people have started noticing. We started noticing its good qualities, and it all came to be. And of course, we had MUD owners really early on who were also, curious for better alternative to our MUD clients. And we're like, hey, can you add this and this to Mudlet? And this is, in fact, how the early games ended up in Mudlet's games list. Is we're like, hey, thanks for helping us. Let's stick your game into the game list. So no, there wasn't any negativity ever, really. It was all pretty good, which is good because this is a hobby, and if your hobby is too toxic, then you'll probably give up doing it.
So speaking of that list, what was the first MUD that made it to the pre-installed list?
Oh, it's a difficult question, but let me scroll through some things. I'm not sure. Maybe it was Realms of Despair or Zombie MUD or God Wars 2, if we've added things to this list in chronological order. Yeah, I really don't remember, to be honest.
How does one get their MUD into the list? There's not a whole lot of MUDs in it yet. So how do you get on there?
We have a wiki page, and there's a link available for it. And essentially, the idea of the requirements for this list are give the Mudlet player a nice Mudlet experience. and you're good to go. And what does a nice model experience mean? Well, it's one, first of all, enable go ahead or end of record in your MUD. So basically notify the client when you're done sending, because Mudlet will wait until it receives a go ahead, and then it'll process everything in bulk, which is nice for performance. And a lot of older MUD drivers don't do this by default, so it makes things a little bit difficult. So if you have that for Mudlet, then great. And then point two is make sure that the Mudlet mapper works with your game. And we already have a generic mapper script, which you can just take. And if it doesn't work out of a box, you can give it a few patterns for it to match your, you know, access line. And it's pretty much good to go from there. And you don't have to give like a whole map of your game. That's not necessary. Exploration is really cool to do. But just make sure that, you know, people don't have to fiddle with code before we can get the mapper up and going. The mapper can figure out, navigate your game, and then they can go off and explore and map on their own, for example. But do provide like a map of a newbie area, so we don't have to start figuring out how to map your game right when they're newbies, which I think is reasonable. We haven't had pushback on this so far at all. And then the last one is provide some sort of an interface, because it's pretty clear the direction for most MUDs these days is you've got to have some sort of an interface. Every web client-based MUD, for example, gives a basic interface with gauges and a map and, for example, a chat capture, etc. And this is what we recommend as well. And then the last bit is really set up package auto-install. So when Mudlet connects to your game, all of this is automatically delivered to the player, and their mapper works, and they have like a little interface. And that's about it, really. So the requirements aren't super stringent, and we also help people a lot if anybody needs help in getting them down to their game.
So what are Mudlet packages, and how can a MUD take advantage of them?
A Mudlet package is basically an export of aliases, triggers, scripts, key bindings, but you can also include pictures in it, you can include sounds in it, you can include fonts in it, and all of that gets zipped up and exported as a single file. And if the MUD wants to take advantage of it, like I mentioned before, you can have a Mudlet package get pre-installed. So when Mudlet connects to your game, you can tell Mudlet, hey, I have a Mudlet package available at this URL. And unless the user has opted out from auto-installing packages, package will get auto-installed. As far as the user is concerned, they don't have to do anything. Model will see it, model will download and set it up, and then, bam, they have a nice interface and all of that.
Well, let's talk about some of the other features of Mudlet. I know everyone's talking about, like pretty much everyone has their own Discord server at this point, except I think like me. I think I'm the only one in the world without a Discord at this point. How does Mudlet interact with Discord? I know that's a relatively recent thing that's happened.
Yeah, one of the passions and one of the reasons why I'm continuing to work on Mudlet for 10 years now, we've had our anniversary a couple of months ago, is because I want to keep the genre going and I want to grow the genre. And Discord is an obvious contender on the gaming scene, is hugely popular these days. So I thought, well, I was looking at those lists of players that a server has, and you can clearly see what games people are playing. And I'm like, you know what, MUDs are invisible in that list. Nobody knows if you're playing a MUD. On the other hand, if we made it visible, it'd be a bit of, you know, like a bit of promotion for our servers. People would be like, hey, what is that game that you're playing? So I've taken the Discord Rich Presence API, which basically controls that side list for the player. It can show what game they're playing, what is their in-game status, it can have a timer, it can have like party stats, and etc. And I've integrated that onto Mudlet. And then I've done two things. First of all, added a gmcp spec for that, so a game can control that in Mudlet without installing any Mudlet packages whatsoever. And because it's gmcp, I'm, you know, hoping our MUD clients will also adopt it, just read the data and use the Rich Presence API to configure the side list. And I've also added a Lua API, so players themselves can also set up custom things, because I believe in the power of customization and player control over their MUD client in that way. So that is the Discord part of it.
So mapping is a pretty big feature of Mudlet. Do you want to go into any more detail about that?
Yeah, sure. So like I mentioned before, we have a cool 2D mapper and a 3D mapper. And in fact, in the 2D mapper, it's pretty nice. So you can actually set custom labels in the map, and you can actually set custom pictures in the map too. So if you want to give like your area cool background, you can totally do that. If anybody has played more than just a few MUDs from the same company of sorts where we realized that MUDs all look very differently. The way rooms are represented, the way exits are done, is all very, very different. And this is what makes mapping or automatically mapping MUDs a pretty challenging thing to do. And we've put in a fair bit of work into that. And like, can we make, you know, a one-size-fits-all solution? So you just press a button and you can start mapping right away. And I've tried really hard and it's like, no, that's not possible. So, but we've come to you know, acceptable trade-off in the middle. What we have now in Mudlet is that if it doesn't work out of a box, there's a few commands you can run to commands or just a trigger, really, that you need to set up that will detect the room name and the exits. And that's all. You don't need anything else. And if you can set up a trigger that does that, then you're good to go with mapping. And I'll mention that it's actually one of the, you know, biggest strengths of Mudlet. In the latest patch, I've actually added a Discord button straight to Mudlet's interface. We actually replaced the old IRC button, which is still there, because there are people who use it, actually. It's in the background. Discord has a foreground now, and when you press Discord, you'll get opened, you'll get taken to Mudlet's Discord channel, which is actually always super helpful. There's a very good chance that question you'll ask will get answered. And we have a bunch of people who are sitting around and helping people get set up with a Mudlet mapper there too. They're like, hey, how can I get my mapper working on so-and-so game? Somebody will log into the game. They'll give you a trigger pattern to use and then off you go. So that's the mapping situation right now with Mudlet.
We're going to take a short break so I can relay a few words on behalf of one of our many sponsors for the podcast. The Mud Coders Guild. Are you or would you like to run your own MUD? Are you looking for better advice than why bother? Point your web browser at slack.mudcoders.com. The MUD Coders Guild. When you ask why, we will bother.
So, speaking of the community surrounding Mudlet, it can get pretty complicated. I mean, if you're not a programmer, there's a lot of scripting involved. There's a lot of programming type things. Like, how robust is the community behind actually generating scripts and getting them out to the public, the support behind that?
Yeah, I honestly think it's one of the biggest strengths of Mudlet as a community that we've been able to build. To begin with, we try and make things as easy as possible. So, for example, I know the power of copy-pasting. It's amazing. Programmers love to rave about Stack Overflow, which is the same idea. And for our wiki, like every function we add a couple of examples that you can just copy-paste, run it, and see, hey, okay, this is how it works, and you can tweak it. But for the things that still aren't clear, you can hop onto our Discord, and we have a ton of people literally helping everybody like 24/7 because everybody's located in all different parts of the world, figure things out and code it for them, etc. I would say the biggest barrier people have is actually not going to the Discord. If somebody's too shy to come and ask, then you'll get stuck. But if you come and ask, there's a very good chance you'll get your question answered or, you know, problem solved or script debug. I'm quite happy about that.
So what are some other strengths of Mudlet that you would like to talk about?
I think, well, as I mentioned at the start, the fact that it runs the same on Windows, Mac, and Linux is a pretty big deal. And not just runs the same, but all the scripts that are made for it run the same too. So you know how Windows has pretty dominant market share, but scripts made on Windows, they'll still work on macOS or they'll still work on Linux. So users on those systems, like me on Linux, for example, you know, they sort of don't get quote-unquote screwed over because a guy coded on Windows and he only thought about Windows and I'm using a Mac and it doesn't work for me. That's a really nice way to help encourage adoption of our platforms. If somebody can take their Mudlet and it'll still work the same on Linux and it'll still work the same on macOS. It's a small thing, but it's a thing nonetheless. And for some people, it can actually be a blocker in switching. So I'm happy to be helping in that regard. I think the other thing is we're always consistently ensuring that Mudlet runs fast. You know, we've had bloated and slow mud clients before, and I think everybody's synonymous feedback is like, no, I don't want this. This isn't nice. So we've made Mudlet be performant right from the start. And I think that's one of the biggest strengths for the client still is just how fast it is and how much can you do with it, and it'll still be fast. That's impressive. And the other thing I think that is cool is how much customization you can do in terms of the interface as well. I have seen like super impressive interfaces, fat blown Diablo 3 skins, for example, or completely custom space things. And it's pretty easy to get going with your own interface. We have templates on the forums that people find where like they just install a template and we're like, wow, I already have a bunch of boxes that I can fill in with stuff. And then they start filling in stuff. And of course, from the beginning, it doesn't look very different from any other templated interface. But some people are super, super creative and some really beautiful things come out of that. And that I think is pretty cool. And not just the area inside Modeler is customizable, the whole application is skinnable as well. So, you know, like scroll bars and the top menu and the settings menu, all that can be skinned as well, which I think is pretty important for a game, essentially, because that's what Modeler is, I think, is that you can really create an immersive interface that gets you in the feel. I would say those are the biggest strengths from my point of view.
So you've mentioned there's people on the Discord pretty much 24/7 because of how international Mudlet is and how international MUDs are. I mean, we've always had a pretty big community across the globe. I mean, not big in total size, maybe, compared to some games these days, but it's always been a very global community. How many languages is Mudlet currently localized to, and are there any in the works that might be coming out soon?
Yeah, so we've just had our Mudlet 4 release after 2.5, I think, years of development. And the major focus of this development cycle was internationalization. I think I butchered that word. It's pretty hard to say. But anyhow, Mudlet now is supported out of a box in Russian, German, and Italian. And the Chinese language is coming up close. And I have to mention, as a software developer, the fact that we were thinking of cross-platform right from the start was a really big boon because it made cross-platform issues, I don't know, almost disappear. Like I would say like 5% of the problems that we deal with are cross-platform in nature. They're really a non-factor because we thought about it from the start. But internationalization wasn't something that we thought of from the start. And I think we should have, because taking software that's aimed at working, you know, with plain ASCII for English and making it work with non-Latin characters of, like, let's say, Italian or Spanish, and going even further, making it work with Chinese displays and things like that, that's a fair bit of work. But we've got it down now. Mudlet 4 is out, and it supports all of that out of the box.
Who helps with the translations? Is this something that's a community effort? People just volunteering their time and translating menus and help tips and all that other stuff that has to be localized?
Yep, it's definitely community driven, for which I'm very thankful for. And it's surprisingly, as you can imagine, if you think of it from an administrative point of view, it's like, how can I trust this translation? Or how can I trust that somebody didn't sneak in something dodgy in the translation? But thankfully, that all has been working out pretty well so far. And what we're using for this is an online platform, which has free accounts for free and open source projects. This platform is called Crowdin, and it's actually developed in Ukraine. And I think it's the best of a class. It's really amazing. You can use it on your computer and on your phone pretty easily. So when you're commuting to work, for example, you're bored on the subway, you can sit in and start translating. And what's really cool about it is it also helps with auto-translation a fair bit. So if similar text has been translated elsewhere, either in the Mudlet project or in the global Crowdin platform, it'll give you suggestions and you're like, oh, this is what I want, and you just click on it. Or it also integrates with online translation tools. So what we have set it up to translate using IBM Watson. I didn't even know it had a translate API before this, but it does, and it's pretty good. With Amazon, Microsoft, and Yandex, which is a Russian service. And so for relatively simple strings, like for example, we have language names for every language, because I think we need them for dictionaries. Right, for spelling dictionaries. So those all have to be translated. And it's a pretty boring list of, I don't know, 250 or so different languages. When you open up one of those languages, you get automatic suggestions. And you're like, oh, this suggestion looks good. Click a button and translate, which makes it super easy to translate. So I can recommend setting something like that up. And to complete the circle, we have automated CI builds, which are hooked up to this translation service. So whenever somebody translates a few more words, an automatic build kicks off, and within, you know, like 15 minutes, they have a version of Mudlet with a newly added translation that they can just run, see how it looks like inside a client for real, and off they go.
So the biggest question in mudding at the moment has to be mobile clients. Probably at least once a month, if not way more often, something similar to mobile clients pops up on the Reddit. Are you all working towards something like that for Mudlet?
The next goal for 5.0, after the 4.0 of internalization, for 5.0, the goal is the first-timer experience. I definitely see the appeal of mobile mudding, and thinking about it from a technical point of view, there is no blockers in the Mudlet's technical stack from being run on a mobile OS like iOS or Android, because Mudlet uses Qt for the interface, and Qt widgets is supported on Android. And then I don't imagine Lua or the PC Area engine or anything else will have any issues. But I think you can imagine how nasty, if we ever actually got it going, how nasty a desktop, like literally a desktop application, would look like on your phone. It'd be literally horrible. So Qt has a mobile first sort of set of interfaces called QML that would work very well on Android. I've tried out developing that. It was very nice to develop with, but that would mean rewriting, you know, Mudlet's interface in QML, or making an alternative Mudlet front end with QML. So that would be a fair bit of work. So it's not in the plans for me to work on per se, but we have the same thing in our Mudlet Discord every once in a while. It's like, hey, I want to run with somebody Android phone. I'm like, yeah, that's awesome. And there are some people who are interested in it and they're giving it a go. So I can't give any promises right now, but there's no blockers to making it happen either.
So Mudlet, of course, can be downloaded for free. And all of these packages are for free for all of these MUDs. How is Mudlet's development supported? Because you guys have a pretty good schedule of releasing updates and it's going pretty well right now. How is that monetarily supported?
I can definitely say that it's definitely not supported, not at all monetarily. We've recently launched a Patreon, and I'll talk about it in a moment, but for a good 10 years of Mudlet's life, wouldn't really taking donations or make big bucks. We've always had a donation button from the start, I think, but barely anybody finds it, and even less people donate to it. So things like, you know, paying for and also for the first 10 years, the costs of developing free software were very low. The only thing we had to pay for was for the domain name and hosting, which I paid for and one of our main team members paid for out of our own pocket. Like, it was just a hobby cost. And everything that all of the development time that we spent on Mudlet was just, well, this is a hobby. We love what we're doing and we're doing it for free. But then the costs have started rising recently. For example, if you don't want to get a horrible, the software is insecure dialogue in macOS or Windows, you've got to pay for a code signing certificate. And the cost of that is non-trivial. It's for Apple, it's what, it's $100 a year. For Windows, a code signing certificate for a couple of years is about $200. And you're sitting thinking, it's like, you know, I dedicate all this time to a hobby, but I'm not sure I can spend this much money on making a free product for everybody else to use. So this is where we ran into a bit of trouble and we're like, hey, we would love to do donations in this area. We don't need money for ourselves, but we would love some money to help us continue doing this so we can get an awesome free client. And that is why we launched Patreon last month, is to get money for model development, for the costs that we've got to cover. And none of the money that we're receiving, we're going to be taking ourselves, or we're going to be injecting it all into the model project. So paying for co-signing certificates, we haven't paid for anything extra yet, but I think some more CI jobs would be handy, so you don't have to sit around for, you know, a couple of hours if you have a couple of PRs running, waiting for your build to happen so you can finally approve that PR. So all of the money that we're raising through our new Patreon is reinjected back into our client. We've also figured out some value to our patron thanks to Demonic, who is one of our core team members. He's really, really handy in his workshop. So he's been printing 3D arches of Muddlet. You can see some of those on our Patreon page. And he's also carving custom wooden pens for Muddlet too. And I actually signed up for my own Patreon just for that pen alone. I'm like, shit, I want this. And yeah, as has went surprisingly well, actually. We've been working on this for a decade and with really no expected retribution. And if I check right now, we have 18 patrons in there, which is like, wow, nice, you know. Somebody appreciates what we do. It's really good to see, actually.
So what's in the works for Muddlet post 4.0?
Yeah, so the next version of Muddlet 5.0 being, I would like to focus on the first-timer experience. At first I called it newbie experience, but I think first-timer sounds a little bit better and more to a point. And the basic idea is, quite a lot of people who get into MUDs, they get into via friends. Like, I got into via friends. I don't think that many people are able to... Well, no. I don't have a stats for it. So I'm just guessing here. But I think that if you give Mudlet to somebody who has no idea what MUDs are, I think they'll be pretty lost straight away. And they'll definitely have to, you know, work to figure out what MUDs are. And if you want to convince somebody, or if you want to sell something to somebody, you can't make them work to figure out what it was. They have to be blown away, they have to be amazed, they have to be impressed. And so for that, I would like to improve the first-timer experience of MUDs in Muddlet. I want to make sure that if somebody, let's say, in the future downloads Muddlet from Steam, which I would like to get Muddlet in, they'd be impressed, you know, within the first minute. They're like, wow, this is so interesting. I can make a character, I can make a wizard, I can run around, I understand how this works. So the first-timer experience will be pretty important. And then also improve on the strengths that Muddlet has of, you know, tons of examples, and especially if you want to do coding, because I think making triggers and aliases and etc., like a fair bit of our players like to do this, and I would like to get something that's right in the client available for them as a help. Because right now you've got to go out to our manual, which is an external wiki website, and then you have to go back and forth between the client. But if you had an example of, here's how I make a target alias, here's how I make a target highlighting trigger right within Muddlet, it would also help things a fair bit. So that's one of the big directions we're working on. As always, Muddlet is an open source project. And if you want to send us a PR for something random, then that's a good idea, we'll happily take it in. So our random non-first-timer things that we're working on is, I'm personally working on making a quote-unquote portable version of Muddlet, as in you can put on a USB stick and it'll carry all of your settings with you. Because right now, it stores all the settings in a predefined location. And if you put Muddlet on a USB drive, well, none of your profiles will come with you. So that'll be a useful thing. And also for online syncing, quite common. People have more than one computer these days and they want to be able to have the same profile on many computers. For that, you've got to use a syncing service like Dropbox or Google Drive. And for that also, you've got to be able to store your profiles in that folder on your machine, which gets synced up. So being able to choose where your profiles go in Muddlet is another big thing I'm working on. As you can imagine, that also involves a fair bit of surgery to remove the assumption that, hey, profiles are in this one easy predefined place and they'll always be there. Another even more shorter term thing that I'm working on are expanding our web functions. Right now we have a download file function, which is essentially an HTTP GET request, and it worked pretty handily for us, but also expanding it to HTTP post, put, and delete, so people can interact more with online services and, you know, hook up. People have been mentioning Spotify. I don't know if Spotify has a web API, but if it has one, then you can hook up Spotify or whatever else and control that from your Muddlet, which would be pretty cool too.
So I'd like to thank you, Vadi, for coming on the Titans of Text to talk to us and to illuminate all of our listeners to some of the more discrete parts of Muddlet and the inner workings of its development.
Awesome. Thank you guys for giving me the opportunity. It's been a real pleasure to be here. And I have to say, I don't listen to podcasts that much. It's my partner that does, but Titans of Text is the first podcast that I've started listening from episode one until the latest one. So I'm really excited to be here today.
The next big thing is the one that makes the last big thing usable.